The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Good afternoon. John Harper in for Drew, who is on vacation this week. And I'm hopeful that you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life today. And you've shared that with someone else on this beautiful feast day of the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Got a lot to get to today. Of course, we'll pray the chaplet coming up in the next hour. You've heard the term fake news. That's been used so many times. The irony is that fake has become fact for some. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, we're going to give you some tips on how you can be a more discerning consumer of news and also how to separate the real information from the so-called fake news. Also, we'll take you into the world of artificial intelligence, or is it the other way around? Is artificial intelligence going to squeeze us out of our world? We'll take a look at that in depth coming up in this hour. Also empower you on dealing with the world of AI. That's all coming up here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. But just getting you caught up to date again, we have to start in Washington, where the race to seal the deal on raising the debt ceiling is on this afternoon. Just saw a headline cross the wire that they're supposed to vote in the House tonight. And of course, out for Congress to pass it. Conservative Republicans say, we're not going to support it. Progressive Democrats say, there's not enough in it for us. We're not going to support it either. Speaker Kevin McCarthy is optimistic that the package will pass.
Today, the American people are going to win. We're going to pass the largest cut in American history.
And as we just learned seconds ago, that vote is going to happen tonight. And of course, we'll have that information for you here on Relevant Radio. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Senate's not going to waste time once the deal gets passed and goes through the House.
Once this bill reaches the Senate, I will move to bring it to the floor as soon as possible. Although the House still has more work to do, senators should be prepared to move on this bill quickly once it is the Senate's turn to act.
What's interesting, if the drama that's going on between the parties isn't enough, you'll remember that Kevin McCarthy became House Speaker by a very narrow margin. And how many votes did it take before that happened? And he made a lot of concessions, made a lot of deals. And now some Republicans are signaling removing him from that position. And as you'll recall, it only takes one. That's the deal that he cut. It only takes one to remove him from that position. So it's going to be interesting to see. Here's a name that you've heard, Governor Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey. Add him to the list of Republicans now running for president. This will be his second bid for the White House. The reaction to that, the Christie announcement from Republican National Committee Chair Rona McDaniel, appearing on America's Newsroom on Fox this morning.
We need to remember that at the end of this, after a bruising primary, after everybody's fighting to get the nomination, we need to come together as a party and focus on winning the White House, because we can't change anything unless we win and we can govern.
And you'll remember from the last election, in the early going, he was pretty combative with Donald Trump on the debate stage. So we'll see what happens there. Governor Christie is expected to make that announcement, by the way, in Manchester, New Hampshire tomorrow afternoon. A U.S. fighter jet was involved in a mid-air incident with a Chinese fighter jet. This happened over the South China Sea. China's blaming the U.S. for being in the area. Here's Secretary of State Anthony Blinken.
Our planes were flying in international airspace on a routine mission. Chinese pilot took dangerous action in approaching the plane very, very closely. There have been a series of these actions directed not just at us, but at other countries in recent months.
Secretary Blinken added that with the U.S., there's, of course, real competition with China, and he added that we want to make sure that doesn't veer into conflict. Tensions remain high after a very rare series of drone strikes in Moscow yesterday. The first strikes hit civilian residences in the Russian capital. That's the first since the invasion of Ukraine started in early 2022. The Ukraine denies any involvement, and Ukrainians woke up this morning in Kyiv to back-to-back Russian airstrikes. One person was killed and a dozen more were wounded. Back here at home, Nevada Republican Governor Joe Lombardo ran on a pro-life platform. Now he's changed his mind. Governor Lombardo is the very first Republican to sign a bill that makes Nevada a safe haven for abortions. Now, this bill enshrines protections for out-of-state abortion patients, as well as in-state providers. His action also codifies an existing executive order that was signed by his predecessor, former Democratic Governor Steve Sisolak, who lost his reelection bid to Lombardo. Lombardo has also pledged to respect the will of the voters who codified abortion rights up to 24 weeks in the 1990 referendum vote. That's going to be very interesting to watch for those of you listening in Las Vegas and Reno, and we'll keep you up to date on the fallout from that Lombardo flip-flop. Also, have you seen a UFO? You know that Drew talks a lot about UFO and phenomenon. Maybe you believe in them. NASA is holding some historic public meetings on UFOs. The space agency is studying unidentified objects both underwater and in the sky. They say it's the nation's obligation to determine the authenticity of the unidentified and whether they pose any threat to our security. The report's going to be out later this summer, and you know Drew's going to cover that here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, that's in the next hour. Also later this hour, dealing with AI. Is it the end of the human race? We're going to take a look at that. And it's pretty scary where AI is going, and we've not yet heard very much from our church leaders. And I'm sure they're discerning what AI means to our faith. And we'll go in depth on that coming up in the next half hour here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. When you want news and information, where do you go? For millions, the first choice remains television, and whether you land on Fox News Channel, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, wherever you go, you're probably choosing that because it's the news organization you trust. I want to play you something because this has been on for the last couple of days, if you haven't heard it. It's a promo for Drew's show that you're listening to right now, and it underscores what we're going to talk about here in the next couple of minutes.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, are you sick and tired of fake news and the pushing of an anti-God woke agenda?
Duh.
If so, you're not alone. You know, sharing the good news has become far more difficult in an era where feelings matter more than facts.
How do I keep getting this chicken?
But I want you to know, you should have hope. The truth always prevails.
And it prevails here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. But also putting those feelings ahead of facts, there's so much to go through. And right now, we want to help you become a more discerning consumer of news to, I'm hopeful, give you something to think about when you see or hear something that may not feel right to you as a listener or a viewer, or it may not meet the smell test as you filter it through your Catholic faith. Holland Cook is a media consultant who advises talk radio stations across the United States. And he's also doing something that all of us at talk radio should do a lot more, and that's listening. And he's listening to you, listening to your suggestions for dodging the inflation squeeze that every family is feeling. Check out his blog, andyoucanquoteme.com, andyoucanquoteme.com. That's where you can read and post your money-saving tips, andyoucanquoteme.com. Joining us live this afternoon. Hello, Holland. Welcome back.
Could be this evening, depending on where somebody's listening, right?
That's right. So we're all over the world. And the Relevant Radio app, the most downloaded Catholic app in the world, we'll put in a plug for that. And it's been downloaded in every country on earth. So it could be evening. It could be tomorrow across the international dateline. Every pledge drive, we get pledges. We get donations from Australia, from New Zealand, from all over the planet. Thanks be to God. So you've got a worldwide audience. And if there's something that has transformed the world, it is the term fake news.
Yeah, pretty much means anything I don't agree with lately. You know, we have filtered, and Drew's line about feelings and facts confusing each other, it really seems lately like people are less interested in information than affirmation. And you mentioned how the channels seem to have divided the audience. You know, if you like the way Fox News believes, you look there. And if you like the other point of view, you go to MSNBC. CNN's trying to figure out where they are in the middle. But it's a shame that we can't all agree on what is, and that we have chosen to line up on either side of what's been called alternative facts.
Yeah. And as we have this conversation on the Wednesday after Pentecost, yesterday we had some great conversations with our Relevant Radio listeners talking about using the gifts of the Holy Spirit, certainly to discern right from wrong. Help us discern how to filter the content we consume. Is discernment a thing of the past with the flow of topical information that comes spewing out at us every day, Mr. Cook?
Well, I think it is literally a matter of trust and faith about information. A pal of mine is an attorney who specializes in scams. And he says, trust me, you can't trust anyone. And the irony is that social media seems to have made us less sociable. The very technology that connects us seems to be dividing us. And as challenged as we are in so many ways that you hear in the news, we need each other now more than ever. Yet all of this communication technology seems to be making us more wary of each other. And I think we have no choice to break this cycle than to shop around. And I think that we need to hear the others out. It's just sad that there is such distrust of the other on both sides lately.
As we talk about shopping around and navigating the 24/7 news cycle with media consultant Holland Cook, whom do you trust for your news? Where do you go for your news and information? 888-914-9149. We're curious where you fall here on the spectrum and what you do to discern what is the wheat from the chaff, what is fake, what is fact. Where do you go for your news? Whom do you trust? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can join the conversation here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Talk a little bit, Holland Cook, about how all of us, men, women, children, if we've got a smartphone, we're our own newsroom on 2 feet.
I think it's a blessing and a curse. You knew when the Boston Marathon bombers struck, you just knew that they were going to get them quickly, because it is likely that there was no place on planet Earth at that very moment where there were more cameras, because we all have one in our pocket. And the security cameras and all those buildings around the finish line in Boston, the authorities were able to knit that all together. And these knuckleheads couldn't get too far because everybody's watching. So there's some good that comes of this. But there's also what I have called recreational anger. And when you go through Twitter, you want to take a shower afterwards, because we're posting pictures of conflict of various sorts, you know, fights breaking out. And I think people are using social media to let off steam, which can be healthy. But don't be naive. It is not a consequence-free zone there. For years now, every tweet has been archived in the Library of Congress. On internet, things don't just dissipate into the ether. They are forever somewhere. And you can't really unsend email. You can't really take back a foul sentiment. And I think we've got to all think twice. In olden times, if you were going to send somebody a nasty gram, you had to write out a letter and you had to stick a stamp on it and you had to walk to the mailbox. And it built in some time for reflection that now has been instantly obsoleted, because we can just hit send without thinking it through.
Holland, as we talk about navigating the 24/7 news cycle here on Relevant Radio, as Catholics, we believe in the good, the true, the beautiful. And I think we have to remind ourselves as Catholics to communicate that, the good, the true, the beautiful. In this landscape, one in which you work, advising radio stations, television stations, people who do talk radio, is there a business plan for the good, the true, and the beautiful?
I think that enabling the viewer, the listener, the reader is media's best bet. Give them access to solutions and authorities. There's a radio show that I work with who once a week has the director of the Department of Transportation come on for a whole hour, and they take complaints and reports and even compliments about detours and potholes and roadways. And this may sound pedestrian, literally, but I think it was Will Rogers who said people care more about a parking space than what happened in Congress. And here's this radio show giving people access to the director of the Department of Transportation, who has people sitting in the office taking notes. And then next week when he comes on again, they recap what he has done to resolve some of these situations. And that just builds such trust and faith and subscription to the media that enable people. So I think we've got to give folks take-home pay, give them some information that makes their life a little easier, that clears their path in any way we can, which is information. You know, it's the opposite of that affirmation that is the ongoing argument.
George is joining our conversation in Miami, listening to Relevant Radio 1080 at 888-914-9149. We're talking about navigating the 24/7 news cycle and specifically whom you trust for your news and information. How do you make sure that it's true? How do you make sure that the information is good? George, welcome. You're on with Holland Cook.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Very good show, and God bless you for your work. And who do you trust? First of all, obviously, you need to trust in God. That's my premises for anything that I do. And then in His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior and Lord. Then where the source comes from, you have to analyze actually the source of it directly, if you can. Either it will be a video or a news or a text or whatever somebody said. Go directly to the source. Don't rely on other people. Because there are people from both sides of their political ideas that they will interpret those thoughts or words for you. That shouldn't be. Even in our Christian walk, if we have any doubts or anything, just go to the source, go to the Bible, go to God and pray, obviously, and the Holy Spirit will also will give you a reliance on whatever you're reading in the Bible. And if it's contradicting to what you are reading, and what the Holy Spirit is telling you, obviously you have to come up with it. So it's the same thing with the news on today's world. You have China, you have Russia, different political ideas trying to make their own news, their own sources of the news, and lying to people. And on our side, we have the same problem. Over here telling us things that are not real, just because of their political ideas, and they're trying to make it real. That's my two cents on it.
George, where do you go for your news? If you watch national news, where do you go?
These days, to tell you the truth, I see the news on the TV, but that's garbage most of the time. So I try to go to directly to the source, either a talk show, or I see the news directly in you know, in text, either on, let's say, Twitter. I try to see what's in there, and then from there try to see if you are reading the source of it.
Sure.
I think for me, Twitter right now is a pretty good source of it. I also watch obviously Fox and most of the times to see the my side of the story, which is very good. But yeah, I don't rely on that either. I try to go to the source and see what somebody said.
Holland Cook, is George the exception to the rule?
Well, I think your skepticism is a healthy instinct, George. What the media craves is the exclusive, that they're the only ones who have a story. And I think the wary news consumer should say, says who, if one news outlet is the only one saying something, that should be a warning light on your credibility dashboard. There should be a little voice in your head when you hear something dubious that says who. You know, how many other outlets are reporting this? Twitter, you know, blessing and a curse. What you're seeing is very raw information. And I mentioned the Boston Marathon bombing a couple of minutes ago. The first place I heard about that was on Twitter. It turned out to be true, obviously. Twitter exploded. But anybody can say anything there. And that's why I think you need to be wary. It's a very raw town square there. And I think what you want to do is drill down deeper. When you see something dubious, Google it. Go to news.google.com and see who else is reporting that. Because everybody can't get the story wrong, but one person can.
And you raised an interesting point about Twitter, Holland Cook, that Paige wants to join our conversation and talk about. Paige is in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Paige, you're on with Holland Cook, and tell us about how you approach Twitter.
Hi, Holland. I have been on Twitter for about a year now, and I was just calling in to say that when Twitter had the verified blue check mark, it is where I went for my source of news. If you heard somebody said something on Twitter, it was always trustworthy. But now when there's no blue verified check marks, I don't trust it as much. That's just a comment that I thought was relevant to the conversation.
Yeah, there's been another change recently on Twitter, and I don't know if this was an Elon Musk initiative, but I remember Twitter when I first got on some years ago as being one column feed. But now if you look at the top, there are two columns, and the column on the left says "for you" and the column on the right says "followers." And all the people in the column on the right are people you follow or people who follow them. It's at least a friend of a friend. And the pattern that I've discerned in the column on the left "for you" is that they're yanking your chain, is that they give you things that your previous replies and comments indicate will provoke you, because it's all about more attention. They don't make any money if you're not there. So be wary of the left column. Know it for what it is. You may find some amusement there, but this is artificial intelligence yanking your chain for more of your time and attention. And what you find there may be more provocative than useful compared to what's in the column on the right for the followers.
Alan Cook, in the couple of moments we have remaining here on Relevant Radio, give us some advice in going beyond our comfort zone. How do we approach the "tell me something I didn't know" mindset in this 24/7 news cycle?
I think it's never been more important to be curious and to keep an open mind. When you see something that strikes you as needlessly negative, to wonder how they got there and explore the contra viewpoint to that. Curiosity is a wonderful thing. And when we close our minds, bad things happen. We've all witnessed January 6th in a way, my parents' era had the Pearl Harbor. There are moments in time when you can tell something's not working and we're just not listening to each other. And I think it helps to listen. It helps to listen skeptically and to color with all the colors on the news palette. Surf around and shop around for information, and beware of adjectives. You know, as Sergeant Joe Friday used to say, just the facts, ma'am.
Right, exactly. And of course, use those gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. Holland Cook, a media consultant who advises talk stations across the country. Check him out online, his blog, andyoucanquoteme.com. You can read. You can also post. It's a two-way blog, andyoucanquoteme.com. A lot of money-saving tips up there as well as you and I dodge the inflation squeeze here in 2023 and beyond. Holland, thank you. God bless.
Thanks, John. Happy summer.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow hurricane season starts and we'll have Fox Weather hurricane specialist Brian Norcross on to tell us about what the hurricane season is going to be like for those of you listening in South Florida on Relevant Radio 1080, all across the great state of Florida and up the East Coast and certainly on the Gulf Coast as well. We have many Relevant Radio stations in Texas. Good afternoon to those of you listening in Houston on both AM and FM. We are all over the place. Thanks be to God. And of course, on the worldwide Relevant Radio app. Artificial intelligence. You and I have heard about AI. It's creeping into all aspects of our life. Will it actually take over our lives? Someone is looking into that crystal ball, an expert next on The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Your news, The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Your news now.
This hour sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Don't stop.
This is The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
We are here and for real on this Wednesday afternoon on The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. But will someday you turn on the radio, the television, whatever you interact with on a daily basis, and not have a human being at the other end? Artificial intelligence. You have heard about AI and ChatGPT, and it's creeping into all areas of our society. And now there's a stark warning from hundreds of tech insiders that AI technology, if it's not regulated properly, could lead to mass extinctions, not unlike nuclear war or a pandemic. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault with the report.
Critics of this say artificial intelligence is still far too underdeveloped to pose this kind of threat. And others believe these organizations that are calling for regulation, they may only want regulation that favors their own companies. But most agree this is a very slippery and dangerous slope if everything develops unchecked. And recently, G7 leaders created a working group on AI to consider how it should be handled.
Now, who are these 350 tech insiders who signed on to the statement? It's Google's CEO of their AI division. He signed on. Also, Elon Musk signed on. Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak. Both of them are saying, you know what? Let's just take a pause. Let's hit the pause button for 6 months. Let's pause to develop AI and to get the government involved to establish more regulations before it just becomes unregulated and out of control. Dr. Eugene Gant studies this. He's a faculty associate of the Veritas Center of and a professor of interactive media and communications and fine art at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. Also the author of Infinite Bandwidth, Encountering Christ in the Media. And you can get that at emmausroad.org. Dr. Gant, welcome to Relevant Radio. It's good to have you back. Would you sign on to what these 350 tech insiders are talking about?
Good to be with you, John. I'd rephrase that. The risk of extinction on par with nukes is what the AI experts are saying, and I'd say that's not going to happen. God's in control. God's in charge here. Now, the risk of the destruction of destroying ourselves in terms of who we are as human beings, in terms of understanding who we are as human beings, yeah, I'd say that's very likely. I mean, given the fact that this harkens back to the whole Satan with Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, where Satan is saying to us, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can be like God, forgetting just a few moments before God had already told Adam and Eve that they were created in the image and likeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
But today, you know, we're in the midst of gender confusion.
Right.
Where we don't even understand that whole thing about being created male and female in the image and likeness of God, let alone understanding being created in the image of God, or let alone even understanding the fact that there is a God, that God exists, and more so, he's our papa. He loves us so greatly. And if we don't understand that, and we want to be like God, using AI to be like God, yeah, we're not understanding what it means to be human. That's at the crux of it. That's going to lead to our fallen demise, yeah.
Dr. Gant, would you then say that as Catholics, we are creating the vacuum for AI to fill because we perhaps don't know the very basic tenets of our faith as well as we should?
Well, I would say that there are a lot of Catholics, you know, our listeners, for example, right now, you know, in moments or so, we're going to be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, aren't we? You know, that we're praying for all of humanity. We're praying for our brothers and sisters who have a really poor understanding of God and his great love for us, of Jesus and our Blessed Mother. So I'm not sure I'd say we'd be creating a vacuum. I would say that there are a lot of us still. Don't let the media fool you. We're still here. We're praying. We're responding to our Lord. We're responding to his heart for his people, for his children. I like that line in scripture that says, where it says of Jesus that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know, it would be false of us to think that we can avoid the cross somehow in this whole salvation scheme. No, there will be the cross. There is the cross that we're experiencing, but it's for the joy set before us. Jesus is setting before us hope. He's setting before us his love. He's setting before us faith. He's giving us a gift of faith. And so it's for the joy that he's setting before us that we can endure all this.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon, and what we're trying to do here on Relevant Radio is to put artificial intelligence and ChatGPT in some perspective right now, some 350 tech insiders kind of taking a doomsday approach to AI, that if it's not regulated properly, it could lead to, this is their term, mass extinctions, not unlike nuclear war or a pandemic. Thanks be to God for the pragmatism of Dr. Eugene Gan from the Veritas Center and Professor of Interactive Media Communications and Fine Art at Franciscan University in Steubenville to give you some perspective here on Relevant Radio. But we're curious if you have used AI or ChatGPT so far. I have not. Drew has, and I'll tell you that story in a couple of seconds. Our number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you have used artificial intelligence, maybe you have actually seen it come into your place of work or ChatGPT. Where do you stand on that as Catholics? 888-914-9149. And what should be our stand as Catholics, Dr. Gan?
Well, I think very much our stand is one of confidence, one of humble confidence. We know that God's in control and he's in charge and he loves us greatly. At the same time, though, we're called to vigilance about this technology, and we're called to speak up. Do not be afraid to speak up to those whom God places in your path. You know, ask our Lord, ask Holy Spirit for the wisdom, for the right words to speak to the people that God has placed before us. Technology, yes, we've heard that phrase, technology is a tool. I do agree, though, with what the experts are saying, that this is on par with nukes in terms of the seriousness and what it's going to become. I've heard some folks say that, well, it's just like, you know, doing a search on Google or the internet and how that affects all of us. And it's going to be more than that. The very fact that people are idolizing AI and its powers is very, very disconcerting. you know, there is this whole idea of neural networks. You know, AI, there are competing neural network models going on right now. Just very briefly, I just want to speak to one particular one that is a rather recent ilk. And that's what they call GAN networks. You know, I really dislike the acronym because of my last name. I find it kind of insulting. but the GAN networks that they're referring to refers to this whole adversarial network. It's trying to really summarize in brief. It's able to quote unquote create. So the ChatGPTs, the generatives, they're good for recognizing patterns and making predictive ability. So if you've used a phone, you've encountered AI because on that first order, it's trying to keep it. Let's say you're using a social network and you're scrolling, you know, through that. It's trying to keep you there. And the way it's doing it, it's to make it addictive. It's to give you content, deliver content that it thinks that you would want. And how does it do that? Well, its algorithms are studying the way that you're scrolling and what you're looking at. And so it has these predictive capabilities, is recognizing the patterns in your behavior, you know. But in terms of creating things per se, it has some difficulty doing that. So herein comes this adversarial network that is a kind of a network that is devised to just be the reverse of the pattern recognition. In the case of this adversarial network, it allows you to generate images and create them. And this is of concern because it's starting to generate these videos, images, sounds that can sound very real, like another human being. And so I've said this before and I'll say it again, vigilance in terms of what we're seeing online, because it could well have been generated by an AI, and whatever photo, whatever video we're looking at could look extremely realistic, but it's completely AI. So you could be disseminating a lot of lies out very, very quickly and influencing public decision, influencing our elections, for example. Vigilance.
And we've already seen one, I don't want to call it a campaign spot, but for the sake of this conversation, I will. And I don't remember if it was put out by a PAC or it was only a few weeks ago, and it was an artificial President Biden that made the rounds on social media and had some credibility at first before someone said, wait a minute, this is artificial intelligence. So you can only imagine what the 2024 campaign is going to look like.
Right. And this kind of technology is going way faster than all of us, all of us who are into AI and have been doing this kind of work, could have predicted. I mean, I'll admit that I thought this was years away, but this has been within weeks, within months.
Yeah.
And it's blown my mind. It's blown my mind also that the public, especially since there are now these interfaces that make it easy for the public to generate their own images, generate their own videos, audio, etc. It's blown my mind how quickly it's been adopted. And again, that whole discomfort, that disconcerting idea that people are idolizing this. This is some amazing superpower, and with this superpower, you know, I can be like God. It's that hubris, that disrespect for ignoring completely that, that God exists.
Yeah, AI becoming the electronic apple in the Garden of Eden. It's our modern-day Adam and Eve. Isidro joining our conversation with Dr. Eugene Gann, putting artificial intelligence and chat GPT in perspective for you at 888-914-9149. Isidro, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just, you know, all change is not progress, and change is way different than progress. And us humans have always been struggling with progress in relationships, in our human relationships, and in change. So we are going to have complications with AI on both change and progress, but they're not the same.
Right, exactly. Isidro brings up a good point, Dr. Gann. And he talks about feelings. Emotion and feelings is something that AI cannot do.
I would be on the side of saying, yeah, any sort of thinking that it does is really a facsimile of human thinking. And I would humbly submit that, no, it's not going to be able to feel. It will say, it could say that, well, I feel a certain way. AI could do that. But what does that mean? You know, this whole idea of sentience and that whole definition about sentience regarding AI being able to think and feel, I'm concerned about how people are interpreting that. I would propose that in the end, no, there is not going to be an AI with that ability to feel. That to go a step further, that the whole concept of soul is solely, a whole concept of soul, S-O-U-L, is solely within the domain of God, that he alone gives the spark of life, and no human being can do that.
And again, the perspective on artificial intelligence and chat GPT through the filter of our Catholic faith, only one place where you can hear that, and that's here on Relevant Radio, and we're blessed with the voice of Dr. Eugene Gann, who's a faculty associate of the Veritas Center and a professor of interactive media, communications, and fine arts at Franciscan University in Steubenville. We're interested on your take on AI, and maybe if you've used artificial intelligence, or if you've used chat GPT, what has been your experience? You can join our conversation at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, as we continue here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Did you like what Drew and the guest had to say? Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio archives. Just search for the Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, live, coming up. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Harper in for Drew this week, who's on vacation, talking about artificial intelligence and ChatGPT. You may have come in contact with AI or ChatGPT without even knowing it. We're putting this in perspective and the future, and really as Catholics, how we can put the reins on artificial intelligence and filter it through our faith. Dr. Eugene Gann is with us from Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. I was going to tell you a story about Drew. He calls me one afternoon. He's driving home from the radio station on a Friday afternoon. He said, hey, you know, have you tried AI or ChatGPT? And I said, no, I haven't, Drew. He said, I tried ChatGPT at home last night. And I said, do a Drew Mariani Show promo. And he said, it was uncanny what came back to me. He said, it was almost, I probably would put that on the air. It was so well written. And Drew and his producers, Maggie and Patrick and the entire team, you know, spend a lot of time writing those promotions to talk about what's on the show. So it was like, whoa, you know, it's one of those things where I don't know that I want to put my toe in that water, Dr. Gahn, or do I have to, because society will simply take me. The current will take me there, even though I don't want to go there.
Well, it's been said humanity, we're going to be losing our jobs, not to AI, but to people who use AI. You know, think about that for a moment.
Okay, there you go.
AI is a powerful tool. I'm not a Luddite. I've used it, and I've used it to recognize patterns and different things. And it could really save you a lot of time in terms of efficiency and doing stuff and getting work done and learning about new things as well. I mean, I was at a webinar where I was talking about education and how you could have the AI, you know, teach you about, I don't know, just fill in the subject. You could have, say, teach me about calculus, and it will not only write up the curriculum for you in a very logical fashion. It will start expounding and teaching you the different things. If you don't understand something, you say, I don't understand, you know, quote unquote, whatever that is, copy and paste it in. And it could continue teaching you about that. And it will explain to you. It would fundamentally change the way we do things. My concern, again, is that whole idea that the way that we're training AI, the way that we're utilizing it, a lot of folks are not doing it with a reverence, a holy reverence for the existence of God. Earlier on, I brought up that whole thing about the generative adversarial networks to the conventional neural networks. You know, that whole premise, for those listeners among us who have a little philosophical bent, you know, that whole idea there is not anything new. It's Hegel talked about that whole idea of that relationship between self and others as a fundamental defining characteristic of human awareness. You know, to summarize it, where conflict leads to truth.
Yeah.
And so this whole idea of an AI network and an adversarial network in order to try to lead it to truth, a lot of these ideas that are being propounded in the industry are just done in a way that kind of idolizes this technology rather than seeing it as a tool that we created, co-created, as it were, with God, with humble confidence in our Lord. And with due respect for human dignity, that's my concern. And so that's why I keep saying we got to be vigilant. We got to speak out. That's what Scripture keeps telling us.
Right. We're talking about AI, ChatGPT, putting it in perspective, especially through the filter of our Catholic faith. Felipe joining our conversation in Sacramento, listening to Relevant Radio 1620. Now, you've used ChatGPT. What for, Felipe?
Hi, Felipe.
Yes, I did. And just to write a paper or outbid another bidder on a house.
Yeah.
And I said, I just gave it like a couple of words about the neighborhood, and it wrote up the best paper to outbid somebody. Even though they outbid me, the house was sold to us because of that, the way that it was written. So one thing, it has no feelings, no idea of morals or comprehension of, like, processing whether it's right or wrong. And that's where the danger comes in, is, like, we discern something. We process data in a term of ChatGPT, but we discern what it is morally correct or not. And this is the danger, is like, yes, it would be just like a current. It'll be the hollowing out of our society again. You can see what's happened to the economy through some of the businesses that no longer exist, like Sears and all that stuff. And so you can see that even papers that are once eloquently, beautifully written from the soul of a heart of a person, it's going to be like, oh, okay, I did this, a poem for you because it was Valentine's Day, and it
sounds great, but it wasn't from the essence of my soul.
Mm. Essence of your being, yeah. And I bet it wrote that bid for you in seconds, not minutes, in seconds, as it did for me, right?
Wow.
And yeah, and I've even done this myself. I've had, on a whim, I had ChatGPT write an article, and I said, in the way that Dr. Eugene Gunn would write. And it's this article in seconds, and I showed it to my wife, and she goes, yep, that's you. So that's
funny.
That's surreal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes, talking about artificial intelligence and ChatGPT, Mark's in Alvin, Texas, joining our conversation. Mark, you have an interesting point, and it's one that Facebook reminded you of some of the difficulties with Facebook and how it could spill over into AI. Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hi, Mark. Thanks. I'm not a techie guy or anything, but I do read a lot, and they talk about how Facebook has just got so many people depressed, and young people especially, and I'm wondering what this AI stuff's going to start doing to people. You know what I mean? It's out there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference, really?
The research, you're absolutely right. The research is demonstrating some kind of correlation between our exaggerated use of social networks and depression. This whole idea of comparing self is really unhealthy in the end, because it's making us forget our identity as little children of God. It's making us live like orphans. And in terms of AI, if we're starting to idolize this technology and see it as a god, and there are already some forums where people are discussing it in that sort of way. I mean, the World Economic Forum, Harari, is already talking about AI generating its own quote-unquote sacred text. And I don't even have to get into the details. You can probably just imagine from there.
Sure.
It's distressing. It's pulling people. I see this also as another component in which the enemy is trying to attack humanity. The enemy's time, Satan's time, is limited. We know this from things that Blessed Mama has said, and certainly from Scripture. And so, yeah, the enemy is attacking in all different ways, and this is another way that he is using. And again, I'm not saying that this in itself is bad. The technology isn't, but he's certainly using the fact that we have forgotten about God and his great love for us through and our hubris.
Sure.
Manipulating our hubris with regard to AI, yeah.
Mark, thanks for adding to the conversation. Let's just go up the road a bit from Alvin, Texas to Houston. Jesse joining us with Dr. Eugene Gunn talking about artificial intelligence and ChatGPT. Hi, Jesse. Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm actually in the tech industry, and just a couple things. On the AI front, I mean, I'm sure you know that it's not as dangerous as people think it is, because it's really just a glorified relational search engine where it's just looking for what is the most relevant compared to the question you're asking it. Especially when you're talking about the promos and stuff, it just went and found whatever is the highest performing promo, and then it puts your name in there. But I would say where it is dangerous is people don't understand that it can duplicate so many people into conversations, and you think you're talking to real people, but you're really not.
So how do you tell the difference? You're the tech guy, Jesse. Walk us around that minefield of not knowing whether or not we're talking to a real human being or someone through AI.
So the best way you can tell is when it stays away from, I would say, deep informational conversations. It'll really just stay at a top it'll stay at a top layer, right? So let's say you and I were talking about God or the Bible or something in general. If we started talking about how we understand or how we feel about things, it would have a tough time with that, but it would have an easier time saying, what do you think about this Bible verse or something along those lines? Those types of things would have a much easier time with.
Okay, thanks for the perspective, Jesse. I'm curious, with your students at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Dr. Gunn, how do they approach artificial intelligence? What are you hearing from them?
Well, at this point, I am opening up that topic with my students. I'm having them look at AI, and for instance, in a design class, I would actually have them look into the possibility of having AI start off some designs that they have in mind so they could textually type it into Adobe Firefly or one of the other applications, and then go from there. You know, how And then I question, I say, how can you as a human being distinguish yourself in your humanity and your uniqueness created in image and likeness of God from what AI just generated? And so that's a challenge for them. It's an additional challenge that I'm allowing them to explore and to really take hold of creativity, what it means to be human.
I know I shouldn't ask you this question with 90 seconds remaining, but maybe you can just give us a couple of bullet points about the positives of AI that we should look for.
Well, again, it's great in terms of summarizing information, looking out for patterns. Its predictive technology is phenomenal. I would, however, say that, again, vigilance. We need to exercise that vigilance. We need to stay really close to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and speak up. Speak up of this to others. Do not be afraid. That would be from the enemy. Mm. Stay close to Jesus and to Blessed Mama. Keep in prayer. Pray to Chaplet. That's what we're going to do. You know, pray it for all of humanity in our use of all these technologies.
And we're going to pray the chaplain in just a couple of moments. Dr. Eugene Gunn, thank you so much for your perspective. Faculty associate with the Veritas Center and the professor of interactive media, communications, and fine art at Franciscan University in Steubenville. Check out his book, Infinite Bandwidth, Encountering Christ in the Media. That's available at emmausroad.org. That's emmausroad.org. Dr. Gunn, thanks. God bless.
God bless you.
Dr. Gunn talked about the chaplet. It's coming up next here on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. How may we pray for you as we continue on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.